Our first reading today is Psalm 112, verses 1 to 5. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and in their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. The second reading is from Colossians 3, verses 22 to 24. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with serenity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Such you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I'm much more used to being over that side than this side, I have to say. So this morning, as Keith said, this is the last of our five sermon series on our transformation goals. And so we're going to look at business, thriving businesses, how we can support them practically and prayerfully. But I also want to pick up firstly on the scriptures that we've just heard about working for the Lord. Have you ever fallen asleep at work? Here are the five best things to say if you're caught sleeping. They told me at the blood bank that would happen. This is just a 15-minute power nap that they raved on about at the time management course you sent me on. Phew, I guess I left the top off the Tippex. You probably got here just in time. Did you ever notice the sound that comes from the keyboards when you put your ear down to them? And the number one best thing to say if you're caught sleeping at your desk, raise your head slowly and say, Amen. Work is a huge part of each of our lives, whether you're out in the workforce, you're a student at school, or a mother or carer at home. You spend a significant amount of time working. The Colossians passage was written to slaves who were working for a master, which formed the bulk of the workforce in the Roman world of Paul's day. But it's just as applicable in a modern day workforce of employees hired by an employer. Do you ever find yourself being more conscientious in doing your job when the boss is in the room? Other chats and moments with co-workers are more likely when the boss isn't around. Paul instructs the believers he writes to and to us today to recognise that our real boss is not the man or the woman who assigns our daily tasks. Rather, it's the Lord we are ultimately serving, and he is always watching. So give your best on the job, not just when the boss is watching. Serve out of sincerity of heart and reverence to the Lord. When you do, it will turn your secular job into a sacred workspace. All work is ministry. Part of viewing your work as God's calling is understanding that all work is ministry. In Colossians 3, it said, Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. We tend to think of ministry as the work that we do in church rather than the work we do in the world. We divide our life into the sacred and the secular, but God views it all as one. Ministry simply means serving the Lord. You can do that at church, but you can also do that in your place of work. So you might be a minister of the gospel, but you can also be a minister of accounting, daycare, or plumbing. Martin Luther wrote, The idea that service to God should only have to do with a church altar, singing, reading, sacrifice, and the like is without doubt the worst trick of the devil. How could the devil have led us more effectively astray than by the narrow conception that the service of God takes place only in the church and by works done therein? The whole world could abound with services to the Lord, not only in churches, but also in the home, kitchen, workshop, field. Do not think of your job as just a job. View it as God's calling. God has put you in that place for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve his kingdom. For as the psalmist said in Psalm 112, verse 1, "Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands." Now, I've had a number of jobs over the years. When I was small, I always knew I wanted to be a secretary. Any holidays, I would nag my dad to take me to work with him so that I could help in his office. Most summers, I would spend a few days in the office in London, where he worked in the rag trade, selling fabric and linings for menswear. I was taken under the wing of his secretary and would type up lists, do filing, answer the phone, and do general admin for them, which I loved. I left school at 16 and went to Redbridge Technical College, where I did a diploma in business and finance, and alongside that I did all my secretarial qualifications. I left there and went straight into a solicitor's office in London as a receptionist. Then I moved up to secretary and onto a couple of other companies. I then became a personal assistant, an executive assistant, and worked for a number of entrepreneurs, some Christian and some non-Christian. I never really planned to have a career, as alongside my dream as a child to be a secretary, I also just wanted to get married and have a family. However, God had other plans, and I believe that he used me in those jobs that I had. I learnt new skills, I polished off some of the rough edges, and I tried to view all these roles as working for God. Don't get me wrong, I didn't always get it right, but looking back, I can see how God directed my path, and the learnings of my job have led me to what I do today. He also taught me how to work with integrity, to be honest in my work, open with my boss, clients, work colleagues. It meant being the same person in private and public. Working with integrity is part of our Christian witness, and I want to share just one example in my work. I moved to Hertfordshire when I was 29, and I'd started working for a Christian businessman who ran a Christian business magazine and was also starting a new venture selling used cars online. Quite a random thing for a Christian businessman, but and at that time it was a new concept, and although we started well and had great investment, after a couple of years they pulled their investment and we were made redundant. That was a really tough time for me in my life. At the same time, the flat that I'd been renting was condemned with dry rot. And so on Christmas Eve, I drove back to Romford to spend Christmas with my family, having packed up my flat into storage and didn't have a job. Back to our psalm. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. For a while, I really struggled with what God was doing and why this was happening. However, through an agency that I'd been working with, a job came up to be the executive and HR assistant for a company called Virgin Cars. I got the job and started working for an amazing entrepreneur called Ian, and spent nearly 3 years working with him and loving my role. As part of the Virgin Group, there were some great highs. I can tell you a few stories about Richard Branson, but I won't. However, with great highs also come lows, and the Virgin Group pulled their funding. At that point, I was also acting HR manager, and so I had to make everyone redundant. And the group kept me on for 3 months until this was completed. Through this, I remained in contact with Ian. He was the first person that was marched out of the building. And I think he felt responsible that I was left there for 3 months, having to sort the mess and take the flak for the business failing. He always knew I was a Christian. We would have discussions about it. And he knew I was a worship leader and involved in my local church in Harpenden. On finishing with Virgin, I secured a job with a Christian businessman friend of one of my previous bosses, called David, and worked with him for a year. Somehow during this time, I regrouped, spent time with more Christians in business, and listened to where God might take me next. Over the years, through church and charity and a charity that I'd worked for, I'd been on a number of short-term mission trips to Portugal, India, and in Tartar in Africa. And one day, David asked me if I'd ever thought about going on a mission trip for a longer period of time. I said that I'd sometimes thought about it, but was never very good at saying goodbye. My mum will laugh about that. And being away from family and friends for too long. Plus, I always worried about how I was going to finance it. A few weeks later, David called to say that he and his wife had been talking. They had a trust fund in South Africa, and they wanted to help finance an opportunity for me to spend a year abroad. I was shocked, amazed, excited and scared, kind of all at the same time. But somehow it really felt that this was part of God's plan for me. And he led me to Cape Town in South Africa, where I volunteered for an AIDS charity called Beautiful Gate for a year. When I arrived, the plan was for me to be a childcare worker with a number of other international volunteers. However, through discussions with the directors, they really wanted to use my skills in business and administration. So I started working in their office, supporting the directors. I wrote their staff handbook, worked on their accounts, and basically spent a year training others how to do it. I ran training courses on basic IT, office skills, and I trained up a member of their staff who was working in the laundry to be able to work in the office and become their administrator, and she's still actually in that role today. Then in my spare time, I got to be a mum to lots of gorgeous children. There's one in particular who stole my heart, Takani. She used to come into my office every day to see me and have a cuddle. And sadly, after I'd been there a couple of months, her mum passed away. And through the financial support that I'd received, I was able to pay for her mum's funeral. And so culturally, I kind of became her mum. But I still support her today. And now she's got a little boy of her own as well. So he's very cute. Before I left for South Africa, I'd had a meal with Ian, who asked how I was being supported, and I said about David and paying me some money, but that also some friends had asked if they could support me monthly. Ian said that he wanted to support me financially, which in itself was amazing, but it also meant he received my monthly newsletters about how God was using me, any prayer requests, and it really challenged him. So much so that actually he gave a great donation to the charity as well. He also knew that I was praying for him. He went through a divorce and some real challenges at home. He called me every month just for a catch-up. A month before I was due to return to the UK, he called to say that he'd bought into a company and was the new chief executive and wanted me to join him. Which, when you're that far away, to know that you're coming back to a job, again, was just God's timing and was fantastic to be able to come home, spend 6 weeks with my family, catching up with friends, resettling into a house and then starting a new job with someone that I actually knew. And I worked with him for about another 5 years until I pretty much did myself out of a job. We sold off bits of the company. He was almost my boss, but valued my honest opinion and advice. I didn't always agree and with how he went about his work. And we sometimes had heated discussions about some of that, but we remained friends, and we're still friends today, some 20-plus years later. He came to our wedding and was really touched by the service, and then I sang at his wedding last December. He knows that I still pray for him, that I'll question him on things, but that I will also support him. I moved back to Romford from Hertfordshire in August 2002. I'd been feeling for some time that God was calling me back home to be near my family. I had two young nieces, and although we saw lots of each other, I just wanted to be closer. After a couple of weeks of settling in, I wanted to join a church. I knew a few people who were attending the Good Shepherd, and so I thought I'd just pop along and see how I felt. Well, as you can see, I stayed. Moving back to our transformation goal, it reads, we will support the local shops and businesses, both practically and prayerfully, in Collier Row, so they can thrive. On the 30th of March 2017, we launched the Collier Row Business Network Forum. At that time, I was working for the church as integration leader, and through my experiences in work, really felt passionate about this goal. A few of us had carried out a lot of research, spoke to most of the businesses along the high street and surrounding areas, and a number of them were really keen to get together. We've had lots of highs and lows over these last 6 years. One particular high was being instrumental in saving the post office. The original post office was due to close, but we found out that they were willing to pay up to $25,000 to a business to take on the franchise, and they would kit out the premises. We spoke to a number of businesses, one of those being Pound and Max. At that time, they didn't even have online access, so I actually completed their application for them. They were successful, and it means that we still have a post office in Collier Row today. One other thing to note is that it was through the business forum that I met Jason. So God clearly had a plan all along. COVID was a difficult time for us all, and those high street businesses also suffered. We continued to meet as a forum and had some online Teams meetings to give support and generally catch up with each other. One of the other things to suffer during the COVID period was our project to bring colour to Collier Row by way of murals. We did eventually manage to install one, which still looks amazing, but sadly the project was closed down. As a church family, we did invest into that project and still have a pot of money for us to spend in Collier Row, having had this returned to us from the GLA. Discussions are ongoing, and I hope that we will have some suggestions soon that we can agree upon. Other highlights and activities have included being instrumental in Savers coming to Collier Row, supporting the Collier Row community group with their Christmas event, litter picking with members of the forum and the church, and building some great relationships with some of the businesses, including Harold Wood Funeral Services, Keystones and RM5, to name a few. We also put on a market event in Collier Row last year, and we hope to do other events like this in the future. The forum still meets every couple of months, and our last one was hosted by a new business called My Collier. They're situated just on the roundabout, really smartened up that corner of Collier Row. They were really generous in providing snacks and drinks, and they're really keen to help promote Collier Row. But I'd also really encourage you all to support our local businesses, to shop local where we can, and to really support them, get to know those businesses around us. If we don't use it, we will lose it. We also need to pray regularly for our local businesses. And it's great just to spend some time. Obviously, this is Nisha, who's around the corner, that a lot of people know Dilip and Nisha. But they are really friendly, a lot of the people that we see. So it'd be really great. Go for coffee there, start getting to know the staff, and it will make such a difference to them. And Psalm 112, verse 5 says, "Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice." My current day job is about Romford. Romford has a business improvement district, and I'm the director. I've had this role since February 2020, joining just 6 weeks before the first lockdown. We have just over 400 businesses within the bid area, and they pay a levy on top of their business rates to us, and then we reinvest that back into the town. It's certainly been a rough few years for businesses, but my role is to help support them, put on events, raise awareness, and lobby issues that they might have. Bids are awarded a 5-year term, and then you have to go to reballot to be awarded your next 5 years. Unfortunately, in May this year, we received a very strong yes vote and are now embarking on our next 5 years. I have to pinch myself sometimes that this was all part of God's plan, even when I was that 6-year-old girl who wanted to be a secretary. I spend money on hanging baskets, living walls, pocket parks. Last year, we won gold and category winner with London in Bloom for Business Improvement District of the Year, and we were even a finalist for Britain in Bloom this year. We find out late in October how they will award us. This truly isn't a job for me. It's a vocation. It's my ministry. As I said earlier, I don't always get it right, but I strive to work at it with all my heart as working for the Lord. So how about you? Do you want your work to matter? Do you want to leave your mark? View your work, whatever that might be, as God's calling? To know who your real boss is, and to work hard and with integrity for the glory of God, because it's the Lord you're serving. Amen.